Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the letter of John, 1 John chapter 5. And 1 John is going to be found towards the back of your Bible in the New Testament. There's a 1 John, a 2 John, and a 3 John. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read three little verses, verses 13, 14, and 15. And I hear pages turning, so that means you're looking it up, and that's a good thing. And if you don't have your Bibles, we have pew Bibles, and you're welcome to read along. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning from 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse number 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I just pray here this morning that the words of these three verses will bring conviction and truth into our lives. I also pray, Lord, that what I'm about to say will be words that are truthful, can give guidance, can give meaning, and will expound on the scriptures that I have just read. I hide behind the cross, Lord, because I want your Son Jesus to get all the glory here this morning. I must decrease, and He may increase. So, Father, you will get all the glory because lives will be transformed here this morning. And I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We are winding down and concluding a sermon series on what I call real faith. First 5 weeks, we talked about saving faith. And now we're going to talk about something called mustard seed faith. What is mustard seed faith? It's a kind of faith that the Bible talks about when Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can cast this mountain into that sea. I want to have that kind of faith. And I hope you do too. And we know that Jesus is talking in hyperbole when he refers to a mountain. And remember, we discussed what hyperbole was when we talked about the parables of Jesus. He used hyperbole quite a bit. It's an exaggeration to prove a spiritual point. But what is his point about this type of faith? What is that mountain? Well, I'm not going to go to the far left liberal extreme and say that I am a little God and that I can speak something into existence. That's ridiculous and it's unbiblical. And we discussed that last week. On the other hand, I don't want to be passive and do nothing and miss out on golden opportunities and blessings that the Lord may have for my life. So where's the truth? Well, let's build a biblical foundation for this thing called mustard seed faith. And this morning, let's start answering some questions. We will never properly understand mustard seed faith if we're trying to build this thing of faith on the wrong foundation. So let's build that foundation. You will look at mustard seed faith the same way that you look at the Bible, the same way that you look at Christianity, the same way that you look at your life. Either you are going to have a God-centered theology, or you're going to have a man-centered theology. Either God is going to be at the center of your belief system, or man, self, is going to be at the center of your belief system. If you say, can you explain that a little bit more? Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you some examples of both to help you understand the difference between a life that is God-centered and a life that is man-centered. Just generally speaking, a person with a God-centered theology knows that life is all about God. But a person with a man-centered theology believes that life is all about self, all about themselves, all about me. A person with a God-centered theology knows what God has done in them. And a person with a man-centered theology knows what they have done in themselves. A person with a God-centered theology will be God-honoring and God-worshiping. A person with a man-centered theology fills their life, with a man-centered theology will be self-righteous and self-exalting. A person with a God-centered theology fills their life with the truth of God's word. A person with a man-centered theology fills their life with life's worldly pleasures and desires. A person with a God-centered theology knows the Bible is all about what God does and how mankind reacts. A person with a man-centered theology thinks that the Bible is all about what man does and how God reacts. A pastor with a God-centered theology is concerned about their church growing in the wisdom and knowledge of God and His Word. A pastor with a man-centered theology is concerned about their church growing in numbers only. A person with a God-centered theology will seek to give something to the church. A person with a man-centered theology will always seek to get something out of the church. A person with a God-centered theology will take up their cross and follow Jesus. A person with a man-centered theology wants all of their felt needs and self-esteem met. And lastly, a person with a God-centered theology has the mind of Christ. But a person with a man-centered theology has the mind of sinful, carnal mankind. So if we take all these attributes, everything that's God-centered, and we take all these things over here that are man-centered, and once we hear from this side, and once we hear from this side, what we have done is, if we've heard this, we've established what our belief system is. Either you're going to have a God-centered theology or you have a man-centered theology. There's no middle ground. Either God's at the center of what you believe or man is at the center of what you believe. And we all need to choose a side, either God's side or man's side, and put a stake in the ground and say, this is what I believe. And I just simply ask, what side are you on? God-centered or man-centered? And as I said earlier, depending on what side of this that you're on, God-centered theology or man-centered theology, is going to be how you view mustard seed faith. This faith where I can tell this mountain to cast itself into the sea. So let's take those attributes that we just talked about, either God-centered or man-centered, and let's draw some conclusions here now this morning about mustard seed faith from both sides of that equation. You know, I could just draw a really quick conclusion right now and just say this, because really it boils down to this. It boils down to this. A person with a God-centered theology has faith in what God can do. Let me say that again. A person with a God-centered theology has faith in what God can do. If you're over here, on the contrary, a person with a man-centered theology has faith in what their own faith can do. Big difference. I believe in, and I only teach, a God-centered theology. The word faith movement that I talked about last week, that extreme movement, they believe in and they teach a man-centered theology because they believe that your faith is in your own faith. And again, we all need to decide which one of those paths we're going to follow. Last week, I gave five examples of people in the Gospels who were healed by miraculous healings by Jesus. And each time Jesus said it was because of their faith. That cannot be denied. But let me just say this about those five instances. The woman who touched the cloak of Jesus had faith in what Jesus could do. The two blind men who were healed and their sight was restored had faith in what Jesus could do. The Canaanite woman who had a sick daughter who was cured had faith in what Jesus could do. The blind beggar who had his sight restored had faith in what Jesus could do. The Roman centurion whose servant was healed and Jesus wasn't even there had faith in what Jesus could do. I have faith in what Jesus can do. And I hope you do too. In Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus says this, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." That's interesting. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Obviously, we conclude whatever we ask in prayer is received by faith. But there must be qualifiers on this, because if there weren't, then everything that we would ask for, we would receive. But that's not the case, is it? I have asked for some things from the Lord that I have not received. And I would bet that you have too. Our prayers are going to be a reflection of our faith. There's no doubt about that. We certainly don't pray for something that we don't faithfully believe that Jesus can give us. So what are these biblical qualifiers for our faith and receiving what we ask for in faith? Let's go to our two fill-in-the-blanks in the bulletin. The first one would say this, and it comes directly from our scripture reading this morning. Whatever we ask for will only be granted according to God's will. It says that right here in verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will, that we will receive. And let me just say this very simply. If God's will is over here, and what I am asking for is over here, then His will and my will just don't line up. Does that mean that my faith is flawed? Does that mean my prayers are flawed? Or maybe that even means that God doesn't like me anymore. Well, the answers to those three questions are no, no, and no. It means that my request does not line up with His will. Remember the Lord's Prayer? I think we all know that. We probably all learned that at an early age. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let me ask this question. Would you rather have what you want, or would you rather have what God wants for you? Do you really want the will of God done in your life? Do you really mean it when you say, "Thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done"? Or do you get upset with somebody or someone or yourself when your prayer has not been answered the way you want it to be answered? Well, if you really want God's will to be done in your life, then let's talk about real faith. Real faith, I'm going to say this sentence twice, real mustard seed faith is when I truly desire and wanting what God wants for me more than in wanting what I want for myself. That's pretty difficult sometimes. Real mustard seed faith is when I truly desire and wanting what God wants for me more than in wanting what I want for myself. Mustard seed faith shows its true power when I joyfully submit to God's will, not when I insist on my own. Real faith is when I get to the point when I realize that what God wants for me and for my life is the absolute best for me. And for a lot of people, that's a tough pill to swallow. Because we want it our way, don't we? But I need to ask this question. What requires real faith? Wanting what I want for me? Or wanting what God wants for me? I know what I want for me. I may not know what God wants for me. Which one requires real faith? The known or the unknown? Here is a second qualifier for us, for this receiving by faith and by prayer. Fill in the blank number two. Let me read some scripture here first, also from 1 John. I'm just going to back up two chapters to John, 1 John 3. I'm going to read 21 and 22. God's word says this: "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him." Now, John, the writer, says that in a positive light. I'm going to kind of turn that around in a negative light. This is our second fill in the blank, and says this: don't expect to receive anything from God if we are disobedient to his commands. Don't expect to receive anything if we're disobedient. Scripture here tells us that we will receive if we are obedient. Obviously, the inverse of that has to be true too. Psalm 68:18. I read this earlier this morning. The psalmist says this. This is actually David saying, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." And if he doesn't listen, he doesn't answer. We can't expect to be leading a lifestyle of some sort of unrepentant sin, unconfessed sin, and then expect that our faith is going to move the hand of God in one direction or the other. On the contrary, an obedient lifestyle gives us confidence before God. In your bulletins, I have a short little story there in the insights section. And I'm just going to elaborate on that just a little bit. That period in my life was the greatest lesson that I ever learned concerning faith. You can read most of the story there, but I'll elaborate on it a little bit. I knew that around January of 2007, the Lord was calling me out of the ministry that I was in at the church in Waynesboro, full-time ministry, earning a very, very good salary. But I felt his hand moving me somewhere else. One day, I decided to quit. All right, Lord, I guess you'll take care of me. So I quit my job with absolutely nowhere to go. Well, I thought at age 53, it'd be easy to find a job. You know what? A lot of people don't want to hire 53-year-olds. They don't. They're old and washed up, and what do they know? And you know, it's easy to preach faith. Sometimes it's pretty difficult to walk it. When you're out there and you don't have a job and you're kind of wondering, where are we going to go from here? It was easy for me to tell this lady right here, oh, I have faith. God will get us through it. Well, that's what came out of my mouth. That wasn't necessarily what was going on in my head. I'll tell you what was going on in my head. Oh, Lord, where are you? Where are you? If it was you that told me to quit, it's got to be you that's going to find me a job. Now, where are you? I did this in faith. I quit this job, gave up this big salary. So where are you taking me? One night sitting there watching TV, there was an advertisement on TV. Target is hiring warehouse workers. Hey, I can do that. I can work in a warehouse. And they were paying some really good money. Didn't know what shift I would have to work. Lord, it's got to be you. Praise the Lord. You're coming through. Went out to Target and put in my application. And I took this test and the written test and I passed that. And they did, I guess, some blood work and stuff. And I passed the drug test. And they said, you know what? We're going to hire you just pending you pass the physical exam. Well, that's a no-brainer. I can do this. I can pass a physical exam. I'm as good as in. I still remember going home and telling her, I got a job at Target. This is going to be great. And we were all excited. We were standing there hugging each other and kind of crying. Yeah, yeah, my faith has got me through this. Yes, praise the Lord. So I went out and took the physical exam on a Monday. And it was some things that I had to do and lift this and, oh, piece of cake. The next day, Tuesday. Actually, that was a Friday. On Tuesday, I get a letter in the mail. Sorry, we have turned you down. What? You know what that does to your faith? Kind of puts a challenge to it. Lord, where are you? You told me, and I know it was you leading me out of this ministry over here. You led me out of ministry. You led me out of a good salary. And here I am, unemployed. No money, no ministry, no nothing. The next day, that Wednesday, I saw an advertisement on the online for a job at McClung Printing. I guess I can do that. You know, sometimes you get so desperate, you start practicing. Hey, do you want fries with that? You'll take anything. You know, I believe God has instilled it into the male gender. We need to be the providers. And when we're not providing, that's really a blow to us. And I'm compounded on that. I'm supposed to be this great guy who teaches all the stuff about great faith. And I'm wondering where my God was. So I put in for the job at McClung's. On a Wednesday, they told me to come back and start the next day, Thursday. And then I get a call from Beech Grove Church. Hey, come preach on Sunday morning. You see, my faith is what I wanted my faith to be in. My faith was in that job at Target that I never got. But God was saying this.
I have something so much better for you. Something so much better for you. And I don't know how you look at it as the congregation of Beech Grove Church, but I love my job at Beech Grove Church. He had something far better for me. Faith is an easy thing to preach and teach and tell somebody else to have until you have to walk it. And then real faith comes around. But I said earlier, when I started this story, I learned my greatest lesson in faith that day. And I did. And my lesson was this. I have faith that what God has planned for me is the absolute best, and not in what I have planned for myself. And you know what? Maybe those plans might coincide. Maybe what I want and maybe what God's will is just might be the same thing. And praise the Lord for that. And sometimes it may not. So if I walked out of there, out of that situation, learning anything, it was this. That I have come to a point in my life where I know that God can. He can. Every Sunday we have a prayer circle up here, don't we? We don't make demands, but we ask, don't we? And look how many times he has come through. And sometimes he hasn't. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with that. Because I know whatever his will is, not only for my life, but for your life and the life of this congregation, is going to be the absolute best. And every day that's what I try to pursue. I not only want what's the best for me, but for us, and for us, Beech Grove Christian Church. Real mustard seed faith is when I truly desire in wanting what God wants for me, wants for us, more than in what I want for myself. When you get to that point, folks, then you got real faith. Come back next week. One more week, mustard seed faith. There's a lot of loose ends. We're going to tie them all up, and we'll conclude. Let's go to God in prayer.